Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on your gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 2nd. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about how in the hell a girl who nearly murdered her best friend in the woods to impress a fictional monster somehow ended up in a quiet Madison neighborhood, unsupervised enough to just walk out the door, cut off her ankle monitor, and vanish across state lines with a 42-year-old man. Because this isn't just a story about an escape. This is a story about how the system built the runaway she used to walk away. And every decision along that path, every judge, every agency, every treatment milestone, every sealed placement, every missed red flag, every bureaucratic shrug stacked up until the outcome was inevitable. But to understand how grotesquely predictable this was, you have to go all the way back. Let's go way back. Because none of this makes any sense unless you understand the original crime in all of its horror. And it should be horrifying. It should be unforgettable. It should never fade into some abstract, "she was sick," footnote. In 2014, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, three sixth-grade girls had a sleepover. They were 12. They painted their nails, they watched movies, and they did what 12-year-old girls do. And then two of them, Morgan Geyser and her friend Anissa Weir, lured their friend Peyton Lautner into the woods at David's Park under the most common, innocent premise in the world. "Let's play hide-and-seek!" Peyton trusted them. That's what makes the whole thing land in your gut. The trust. Once they were deep enough in the woods, Morgan pinned Peyton down and stabbed her 19 times with a kitchen knife that she'd taken from home. 19 stab wounds, arms, legs, torso, 2 critical blows to the chest, 1 so close to a major artery that the surgeon later said if it had moved even a fraction of a millimeter, Peyton would not be alive today. Let's just sit with that. The victim is still alive. Still has to, you know, live her life, go out in public. And, you know, hope and pray she's not going to run into this person. And the system has a duty to make sure that she doesn't, to make sure that the perpetrators aren't there, aren't part of society. And the system, well, it said, well, we're on the perpetrator side, as it does so often. So let's sit with the reality here. A 12-year-old girl stabbed nearly 20 times by another 12-year-old, left in the dirt to die, told by her attackers to lie down and be quiet because in their minds, death was inevitable, and the only real question was whether Slender Man, the fictional internet boogeyman, would be satisfied. You know, like 12-year-olds do. Except Peyton didn't die. She crawled, bleeding, through the dirt, dragging herself towards a bike path until a passing cyclist saw her and called 911. She survived because she had the will to stay alive, because someone found her, and because surgeons worked on her for 6 hours straight. Meanwhile, Morgan and Anissa began walking towards a national forest they believe was home to Slender Man. That was the plan. Murder their friend to earn favor of a supernatural entity from creepypasta fiction. This is not a mental health crisis in the sense we talk about with adults. This was something else, a violent delusion acted out with disturbing purpose by a child whose thinking was profoundly distorted. It was one of the most notorious child-on-child attempted murders in modern memory because it didn't fit the category we like to put things into. And because of that, the next decade of decisions were governed by two competing instincts: sympathy for a mentally ill child or absolute terror about what the same child had already proven she was capable of. And since society, or since the judges, since the legal system has decided, oh, we're going to let them play in the rest of the world with freedom, with people, with society, with other potential victims, I'm going to play in that world too, and I'm going to say, I don't have any fucking sympathy. If you're going to keep them locked up, keep them contained, keep them away, keep them safe for their own good and the goodness of others, I'll have sympathy. But if we're not, and we're going to say, go, be on your own, go do whatever, this little piece of plastic around your leg, don't cut that off. Don't ever cut that off. I know that's really a really hard ask here. Don't cut it off, because we know you'd never do anything crazy like stab someone 19 times for the good graces of a fictional character. So I totally trust you that you're never going to cut this off and run away with, say, a 42-year-old that you met online that also clearly makes questionable choices. If we're going to play in that world, we're going to throw them into society, then we'll play by society's rules. And you get society's consequences, too. If we're going to play mentally ill, then lock them up. Lock them up in a facility where they can't hurt other people. Not necessarily in a prison. I get that. That can be cruel and unusual for a person who's mentally ill. But it's also cruel and unusual to pretend the mentally ill person is not mentally ill, and put them in a situation where their mental illness will put them into grave danger and potentially others because of their delusions. Who's the mentally ill one here? If we know this, if we know there is something seriously wrong with her, and we're still like, well, let's just let her out and see what happens. Put her in this group home, in this neighborhood, with these families, with these kids, and hope this little piece of plastic works as a deterrent. Who's the crazy one? The actual person with the mental illness? Or the judge thinking that'll work? I would argue the judge. Conflict. Compassion versus containment. That's what shaped everything that happened next. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section here. There's more in the story. We're going to go through it. But do tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Morgan was charged as an adult because Wisconsin law requires that for attempted homicide, you're charged as adult. But she wasn't convicted in the normal sense. Instead, she was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect, the NGI track, meaning the court decided she could not appreciate the wrongfulness of her actions at the same time because of severe mental illness. And in Morgan's case, the diagnosis was early onset schizophrenia, auditory hallucinations, disordered thinking, and a complete break from reality. Yeah, you know, the type of person you just want to put in the middle of a neighborhood in a group home and say, good luck. So the system chose treatment over punishment. In 2018, she was committed to Winnebago Mental Health Institute for up to 40 years. But that number 40 is misleading. It sounds like a hard number, like a prison sentence. It's not. It's a ceiling, not a floor. It means you can be held for this long. But we'll test whether you need to be here long before that. And that's exactly what happened. Under the infinite wisdom of Wisconsin law, an NGI patient can petition for conditional release every 6 months. And you better damn well bet mentally ill patients with enough sense about them will petition for release every 6 months thinking they're better. That's how that sort of shit works. These petitions don't require wrongdoing. They don't require improvement. They're simply allowed. And beginning around 2022, Morgan started filing. She withdrew some. Others didn't gain traction. But inside Winnebago, clinicians began reporting progress. Oh, Oshkosh bagosh. What's going on? Why do I say that? Because that's where Winnebago County is. I actually lived not too far from this institution at one point in time. Just down the road. She wasn't hallucinating anymore, they said. She said she was taking therapy seriously. She'd matured. She was expressing remorse. None of that means she was safe, but it means the legal threshold, which is always bullshit, significant risk of serious bodily harm, became harder to argue against, or did it? And when that threshold gets blurry, courts tend to lean towards optimism rather than caution. That's how we arrive at January 9th of 2025, the day Judge Michael Boren cracked the door open a little bit. At that hearing, Boren listened to the clinicians, listened to the attorneys, and granted Morgan's petition for conditional release planning. He didn't let her out that day, but he took the most important step. He ordered the Department of Health Services to develop a supervised release plan, a blueprint for her reentry into the community. In his ruling, Boren said Morgan had done what was asked of her, that she had grown into a young adult, that she needed the opportunity to exist in society under supervision to truly complete rehabilitation. He acknowledged the brutality of the crime. He acknowledged the public fear, but he believed the treatment had worked enough to justify the next step. Is he a clinician? No, he's not. But there were clinicians saying that to him. So what do you do when you're the judge? You have all these people around you. You can't be the judge and the clinician at the same time. You rely on the experts around you to make the right choices. And that right there, that belief became the foundation for every bad decision that followed, because within weeks, massive red flags emerged. Hospital staff reported that Morgan had been reading extremely dark material, including a novel involving murder, organ trafficking, and sexual exploitation, and had not disclosed it in therapy. Staff also reported that Morgan had been communicating with a man on the outside who collected murder memorabilia. No red flag there. She had sent this man a drawing of a decapitated body, allegedly. She had sent him a postcard implying romantic and sexual interest, allegedly. She had visited her, reportedly, at Winnebago. No red flags. For any other offender, this would be a full stop. Release denied. Everything reset. But because Morgan was on the NGI track, and because the burden of proof sits on the state to prove danger, Boren ruled that the state had not met that burden. He decided there wasn't enough evidence she had intentionally hidden anything, and he said there wasn't enough to show she posed significant risk. He refused to halt her release, despite those red flags. So the process continued. By July, the case moved to another judge, Judge Scott Wagner, who was tasked with approving the Department of Health Services' actual physical release plan. They had found a group home placement. They had written the conditions. They had structured the oversight. And on July 17th of 2025, Wagner approved it. This was not an impulsive decision. Wagner knew the crime. He had the release plan in front of him. He knew another judge had already decided she was eligible for community reintegration. And so he signed off on a plan that placed her in a private group home with, quote, 24/7 staff, GPS monitoring, and long-term state supervision until 2058. Well, that sounds neat on paper, doesn't it? But something very important happened during that placement process, something that doesn't get enough attention. The first group home identified for her in Sun Prairie fell apart almost immediately after the community found out she was coming. People were furious, parents panicked, local officials were pressured, and that placement, well, it kind of went away. So you let people know she's coming, and the society you want to reintegrate her into says fuck no. So what did the court do? Well, rather than protect the public and their opinions and their wishes, they thought they knew better. It sealed the location of the next placement to avoid another public backlash. Let's do it secretly. Let's not tell anybody. Let's protect the rights of the perpetrator over the rights of the public. I'd love to find the people who made this decision directly and put them in a place where we do not protect their rights. I don't know, a violent prison setting. Solitary confinement, maybe, with violent predators. And just say, it's a sleepover. Pizza's coming at 7. Have fun. And by pizza, I don't mean pizza. I don't really know what I mean by that, but it's not good, whatever it means. And let's just see. You don't like being, you don't like protecting the others out here when it's your job. Okay, well, I think let's do a little reality check. See how well you hold up. How about you have a sleepover, maybe at the house that you're proposing you put this person in? Maybe you guys can share bunk beds for a day. See what happens. Go down to HorrorCon. Find a haunted one. Vague reference to a 1980s episode of Unsolved Mystery called Tallman's Ghost. Anyway, the decision wasn't, we think we need to rethink whether this is safe. The decision was, we need to make sure nobody knows where she's going so they can't complain. Because there's nothing worse in this world than complaining citizens when you put a dangerous person in their community, right? Oh, those complainers. That's how Morgan ended up in a residential neighborhood in Madison on Kronkel Drive, a neighborhood filled with families, children, and people who had no idea that the Slender Man attacker had just moved in down the street. Neighbors gave interviews later saying they didn't even know the house was a group home. They didn't know anything about who lived there. They said things like, disguised well, and a heads up would have been appreciated with all the kids around. And they're right. But under NGI law, there's no requirement to notify the neighborhood of who you're putting in that house. The victim must be notified, but no one else. So now we have a perfect storm, a judge who believes she's ready, a system legally structured to be optimistic rather than cautious, and a placement process that hides information from the public in a quiet neighborhood given no context, no warnings, and no opportunity to prepare. Then comes the supervision structure, and the thing that was supposed to keep everything under control in that structure turned out to be a cheap GPS bracelet and a staff rotation. It's like when you go to what you think is a nice hotel. You see the pictures online. Oh my gosh, look at this delicious breakfast they serve every morning. And it turns out to be stale Wheaties and a questionable orange. Well, surprise, surprise, the cheap GPS bracelet and staff rotation failed instantly. On Saturday night around 8:15 p.m., Morgan was last seen at a group home with an adult man. Sometime after that, she cut off her GPS ankle monitor. Wisconsin's Department of Corrections monitoring system registered the alert at around 9:30 p.m. But instead of classifying it as a potential escape, they classified it as a likely device malfunction. something that happens often enough that they don't respond with urgency. It took them until around 11:30 p.m. to contact the group home. Staff checked, realized she was gone, and confirmed the ankle monitor had been removed. That's just a malfunction. We see them all the time. Then get better monitors. You can't operate. Well, how does that work in the prisons there, too, where it's like, well, it says the door is open and the gates have let them roam to the outside, not to the yard. But I think it's just a malfunction. I'm going to finish my sub sandwich over here and then we'll check a little later. A pesky alarm still going on. What's going on here? Hit the computer, Bernie. DOC issued an apprehension request, essentially a statewide warrant, around midnight. But no one called the police. No one sounded an alarm and no one activated an active search. Because no one does their jobs anymore. One hand can't connect with the other. You think it's bad when you go out to eat? Can I get a straw, please? Oh, here's your straw. I just paid the check. And they look at you like you're crazy. We're living in a world of crazy, incompetent people. And when you put crazy, incompetent people in power over crazy, incompetent people, this is what you get. Madison police weren't notified until 7:46 a.m. the next morning when a group home employee finally called 911 to report her missing. By that point, nearly 12 hours had passed. 12 hours for someone with a violent history, a known pattern of fantasy-driven thinking, and a concerning set of recent outside contacts to get anywhere she wanted. And all the people watching this happen, maybe we should let somebody know. Then they let somebody know, and that person doesn't let anybody know. By the time Madison police even began their search, Morgan and a 42-year-old man were already in another state. She was found Sunday night behind a truck stop in Posen, Illinois, nearly 150 miles away, sleeping on the pavement, allegedly. It's a shame nobody veered off the side of the road accidentally and just ended the story right there. The man she was with was arrested for trespassing and obstruction. Morgan gave police a fake name, and she told them she didn't want to give her real name because she had done something really bad and that they could just Google her to figure it out. This is the state of mind she was in. You know, one that a plastic ankle monitor will really take care of, along with staff rotations in the residential neighborhood filled with kids and families. This is the person a judge decided was ready to exist in society. Good job, judge. This is a person placed in a neighborhood full of children with no warning. This is the person we trusted to be managed with a plastic bracelet. And this is the outcome of that trust. Every part of the system failed, not because people were malicious, not because they didn't care, but because the entire legal framework around insanity findings leans towards hope, not that treatment. Hope that treatment works, hope that stability lasts, hope that supervised release will hold, and a hope is not a plan. And hope in a case like this with mental illness is not fucking reality. You can hope all you want. Some people can't be changed. I really hope that Ray Charles comes back from the dead and starts seeing tomorrow. But you know, all that hope, all the prayers I send up, all of the everything I could possibly do, none of it's going to make it happen. But I can still have hope, right? Give up the hope and start accepting reality. Let's be brutally honest. If this were anyone else, if Morgan had been an adult man who stabbed a child 19 times, nobody would be having conversations about group homes and reintegrations. He'd be in prison, period. But because she was a child, because the crime was wrapped in delusion, the system bent backwards to offer compassion. It's like the crazier the crime, the more out there it possibly could be, the easier it becomes to get your freedom. It's a good lesson to learn if you're wanting to go commit some horrible crimes. Act insane. Utterly insane. Add in delusional characters, all sorts of shit. Because if you do that, your odds of getting freedom skyrocket. Well, they were just crazy. We'll give them some medicine. Put them in here for a little bit. If they start acting normal, they can play the system a little bit. Well, then they're free, right? Because we have hope. Compassion without caution is negligence. It's ignorance. It's stupidity. And it should be punished. And in this case, it led directly to a situation straight out of a horror movie. A violent offender shaped by delusion with a history of deception, placed in a low-security home not monitored properly, not taken seriously when the alarm went off, walking into the night with a man, cutting off the only restraint she had, and crossing state lines before anyone bothered to sound an alarm. You know what it fucking sounds like? It sounds like Halloween. It sounds like Michael Myers. Thank God they found her before she found a mask. This wasn't unpredictable. It wasn't a fluke. It was inevitable. Inevitable when you have hope for someone like this. The question now isn't why she escaped. The question is why anyone believed she wouldn't. And as long as the system keeps treating dangerous and delusional as a combination that calls for more leniency rather than more caution, we're going to keep seeing moments like this. Moment where the public realizes too late that they were put at risk by a structure that prioritizes brightness and potential over history and reality. Morgan is back in custody. The next step will be hearings, evaluations, finger-pointing, and political assessments of how badly the supervision system failed. But the bigger problem isn't the escape. It's the fact that she was ever in a position to run at all. Because some stories don't need sequels, and this is one that should never have had one to begin with. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, please. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and that is where you will find me. Hit subscribe, too, while you're there, please. We're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We'll see if we do. I'm not sure, but, you know, that's up to you. We do appreciate your support. We put out coverage on this case and every case that we are diving into every single day. So if you want to keep up with us, please do hit subscribe. And yes, please comment. We do read all of them and we try to reply to all of them or as many as we possibly can. So please, your opinion matters. We do want to hear it. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.